Fuck,
This
is
is
this
episode
50?
this is 49.
49.
Oh my gosh, we're one off.
Close. And then we're quitting. Cold turkey. No
That's it.
more. That's it.
Call
We're
it
done.
quits.
We're definitely gonna have to, once we hit 50, we're gonna have to do like season two.
So every 50 is going to be a season.
Something like that, yeah.
So I guess we're going to race how long it takes us to complete each season.
Yep.
So season two is a
Two and
race
a half
on.
years for season one.
I was looking back. We started episode one on sometime in November of 2020. So it was actually longer than.
November of 2020.
Yes.
Goodness gracious, I've been on Twitter for too long.
Anyways,
Yes.
back onto topic, Ground Zero Fitness podcast, talking a little bit about Sam's little journey he's had in the last year and a half of opening up a gym. I remember we had an episode a little bit ago when you first, either when you first opened your gym or before you opened and you were going through the process of opening it. And we were discussing a little bit about the journey you had of going from scratch, having that idea of opening the gym all the way to the paperwork that you had to get done, scouting for a place to rent, et cetera, et cetera. But now, year and a half later, you're at a point now where you were able to move out of your first location, expand it a little bit, have a few more clients, obviously, have a nice little gym for yourself, and have the comfort of calling yourself a gym owner for the last year and a half. So, you want to talk a little bit about the journey you've been through from the first few months all the way to where you are now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think during our that initial talk, it was prior to me opening, was the first time we talked about this. So a lot has changed, and a lot changed rapidly. Even from just like a business model standpoint, all the way up to just like the day-to-day operations in the gym, everything has gotten a little bit more honed in. When I started this thing, at that point from a business perspective, I was a little more heavily focused on online training, and the gym was really, I really set out for the gym to be just a like a classic black iron training gym, just have an open membership, kind of no rules, and then I would work with some people one on one if the demand was there. And so that's what it was meant to be. And I had that small little space with just a few racks and some stuff I found off of Facebook Marketplace, and I ordered a bunch of stuff too, and threw it all in there, and developed a little bit of a group of open gym members, and then some one-on-one clients started coming on. And quickly, you realize as a private gym owner, and I like to consider my gym like a private or a like a private micro strength gym. And now it's mostly like personal training. But at that point, you quickly realize that open gym memberships are a giant pain in the ass if you actually want to make a living doing this. Especially from a local perspective. Now, places like Planet Fitness and places like Anytime Fitness and those big Gold's Gym chains, they can get away with it because they worry about like they get a bunch of volume. They have their brand behind them already. So, and they, the local Anytime Fitness here in town has a couple thousand people. The Planet Fitness has like 5,000 people, right? And so that doesn't play out very well when you're in a kind of a niche thing, which is strength training and powerlifting. So as the time progressed on there early, I started getting more personal training clients in, and the problem with that was, well, now I've got personal training clients in there with my meathead gym members who, and it wasn't really a good situation for both. So like right as I opened up, I got going. My goal was like, okay, I got to get this thing cash flow positive as quick as I can. And that happened really fast because I didn't have much overhead. And I was like, well, how can I service more people? And a space a little bit later on, a little bit farther down in the same building opened up, and it was previously a restaurant. And the owner was like, hey, I will gut the place. I'll take all the restaurant stuff out there. I'll paint it up for you if you want to move into a bigger space. So I was like, sign me up. Let's do this as fast as we can.
Back up. How did that conversation start? Because I know you had issues in the first place at your old location where you had too many people moving around this small little space. So how did it get known to the restaurant owner that you wanted to move in?
So it wasn't the restaurant owner. It was the owner of the building. And at that point, I'm actually one of my longtime clients is the owner of the build was the previous owners of the building's sister. So I'd been training and got to know him a little bit. Right. And they had just, it was pretty funny. I had my little space. It was like 1100 square feet. My first one, and right next door, a social work counseling center signed like a 10-year lease. Now on the other side of that was another business going in. And when I first got this space, it was me and then nobody on either side. Well, we're making noise, right? We're dropping weights. You know, there's yelling, there's loud music. You can't have that next to a counseling center. So it was almost a move on like the owner's part of like, let's get these guys into a bigger space. Right. And the timing just so happened to work perfectly for me to be able to do that. And I'm always thinking of like, okay, well, what would have happened if I hadn't have had the opportunity to like go into a space double the size that I had? And what would have ended up having to happen is my open gym thing would have had to have gone away, and I would have had to simplify my service and just been like the barbell coaching gym. So I was able to move everything down there and started, you know, getting more equipment. I turned racks into multiple platforms. So I went from having three racks, a bench, everything to now the gym has, I'm looking at the picture, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 places to squat now. And there's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's six deadlift platforms. No, 7 deadlift platforms now. And the amount of people that I can take on at once is way bigger. And it leads to there being a few more options for open gym people to be in there as well. Right. So that's basically, we made that change last June. So we're coming up on basically a year in the new space, and it's transitioned. At that point, when I moved in, I was like, oh, well, I can open up not only more coaching, but I can also open up for more members. And that was fine for a little bit until I started ramping up and getting a little bit more volume on both ends. And then it was like, I would have 6 training clients in during my semi-private groups. And then there would be 3, 4 other members in there. And it was just one big clusterfuck. And it wasn't really a great experience for everybody. So it was like, at that point I was like, okay, I need to prioritize one or the other. Like this either needs to just be an open gym for a small private membership, and I can't make much money, and I'm not going to make much money off of it. Just going to make enough to keep the lights on and replace collars and maybe get new bars every now and again. Or I can turn this into a full blown, like professionals, personal training service. And that's kind of the route I took. Started trimming the fat on the membership. You know, we talked yesterday about some a few different situations where it's like, it's best if we get some people out of there that were there, because it's negatively impacting my clients who are the Barbara from accounting type people. So, and now I do have an open gym membership. However, the kind of unwritten rule for them is for them to not be in there during my coached hours. And then I'm just basically keeping my clientele going. And man, I've been like, there's so many lessons and so many thoughts I have on it. It's very difficult to just like pin in on one topic here.
Yeah. We'll definitely have two specific areas to talk about, especially if we're not trying to go for 2.5+ hours.
Yeah.
But just first of all, I hope this isn't too difficult of a question for you to reach back and think through, but what were some mindsets that you had going into this thing versus what you think of now, and what changed in the year and a half in terms of the way you think about things, or, you know, things around that standpoint?
Man, there's a ton. And one of the big ones was, and this is a really great idea in my head, which is when I was like first thinking about opening the gym, it was like, I want this like hardcore community. Like, I want the people that love banging weights around. I want, you know, an open gym. But I just want to be able to work with people with barbells, like all my clients. And I want there to be like no rules, you know. I want, you know, chalk to get everywhere. I want people to be shirtless and barefoot and loud music and cussing and, you know, just like a hardcore gym environment. That was initially what I kind of set out. Like, that was the vision in my head for Ground Zero. Like, let's make this the hardcore gym to be around in town. And then, you know, go up from there. Let's put these things in more than one town, you know, like we're going to build this fucking thing. Let's go. The problem with that is, you think about like what a commercial gym does, and a lot of people hate commercial gyms for a few different reasons. Like, this commercial gym is going to require like a time commitment contract, right? So when you sign up for a membership at Gold's, they're like, you sign up for a year, they get your bank information and you pay your membership and you can't get out of it. Like, if you stop paying, they send you to collections, you know, and it's just like a never ending cycle. And they have all sorts of rules from like an equipment standpoint and what you can be doing. You know, like Planet Fitness has no slamming weights, and, you know, like Gold's Gym places don't allow chalk, or like you have to keep your shirt and your shoes on and like all of that stuff. Or so I was like, oh yeah, let's make this thing 24-hour access, no contracts, no hidden fees. It's just one flat rate. You can go come and go whenever you want, all of this stuff. But that doesn't work. It might, but it doesn't work if you're trying to also have a professional service within the place. And that was what I didn't anticipate going into it. Thought it would be fine, but that was not the case at all. Right. And, you know, I'm still all for, you know, for open gyms, like, hey, no contracts, no signup fees. But I understand why commercial gyms do it too. It's like, you get somebody that comes in, and when I opened, it was like $50 a month. You get somebody come in and you wouldn't have like a signup fee. You give them the key card, and then they'd come in and blast loud music and break a bunch of shit. And then like the next month their card would decline, and then they'd say, oh, I need to quit or something like that. So then all that happened was there was no skin in the game for them. And they kind of start taking advantage of the space. So I immediately decided when I moved into the new place, it's like, I can't have that anymore. And that's where I've gone. Like, I have a small group of individuals that have been around for a while at the gym that take the equipment and the rules and the cleanliness of the place and the organization of the place really seriously. And they do a good job of kind of policing themselves. They don't come in, barge in when I'm coaching a group of people. They wait before or after, or if they are there, they're not too bad. So I don't advertise an open gym membership anymore. It's a tiny little blip on my website, and basically just don't, I don't want that anymore. I like working with people who are dedicated to training, you know, who want to get stronger, who need the coaching in that small group setting. So I think from what I thought this was going to be, which was just like a place for meatheads to go bang weights, to what it is now is completely different for sure. And it's really just based on circumstances, like being able to move into a bigger space. Mm-hmm. You know, it's everybody knows it's expensive now to do anything. So commercial space is expensive, you know, retail space is expensive. So the fact that I had an opportunity to get out of my lease and go into a new one within 6 months of opening was huge. And that if I was still in the old space, it would be just kind of like a place for us kind of group of buddies to go and train. And then I would be doing coaching somewhere else, or maybe I would have like opened up a different studio or something, or just doubled down on online training. But I hate online training. So, it opened up a lot of opportunity for me. That's for sure.
That's awesome. What made you make the pivot to moving from the open gym thing? Like, how long did you marinate on that idea to switch over from the open gym idea over to group coaching, which is what you do more of now?
Really, as soon as, like, I had never really coached. I had coached prior to it, but it had all been like one-on-one settings. So I'd never really coached groups. So I didn't even really know like how to make that work. You know, what the logistics were for coaching in the group. How do you price group coaching? How do you make sure everybody's getting the attention they need? How do you, you know, so there was a lot of those questions first. But really it started, the thing that happened is I got clients in, and then they started getting stronger, and then they started being like, hey, this works. And I started getting people more inquiring about that, the actual coaching that was going on in the gym. I'm the only, like, the only guy that knows how to fucking teach a deadlift in my town of not, I'm not even joking. Like, there's plenty of coaches, but, and there's CrossFit gym, but CrossFitters around this area, if they really want to shore up their lifts, they come and they learn it from me. So it's like, it's kind of just started building a little reputation. And I was like, well, I can take advantage of that way more and start helping a hell of a lot more people than just having a place for meatheads to do their thing in. You always hear like personal trainers and guys in the fitness world, like, oh yeah, let's just open up a no rules gym. Like, you know, it'll be great. You can have this open gym membership and we just bang weights and nobody can tell us what to do. Well, that's great for everybody but the person running it.
So right? is that what you sounded like a year and a half ago?
No, not at all. Like, I'm trying to build a strength community, people that are serious about strength, powerlifting, and strongman. And now I'm like, I want the person that I want in my gym now. It was funny. A few months ago, I had this just petite little woman. She's super sweet. Came over from, she actually was at that social workplace. That's where she worked. And she came over and decided she wanted, her doctor told her she needed to start resistance training. So she came down and signed up. Yeah. Good doctor. I was like, who
are you? The doctor.
Yeah. Right. And then you actually applying. So she came down and, you know, she's the type of person that is like, if she wants to set the weights down softly so that she doesn't hurt them. And you know what I'm saying? And she, Like, that's the type of person she is. Didn't give me any problems on, you know, just like really nice, pleasant to be around. You know, at one point between sets and like the group, she like got like a, she like found one of my spray bottles and racks and was like, "Your windows are dirty," and was like sitting there between sets, like cleaning my windows. And it was about that time that I had like a couple guys that were like being problems in the open gym membership, like cussing in front of my clients and like just overall being loud and being a nuisance and leaving shit everywhere and all that. And it was about that time where I was like, man, I want more of that woman in this place rather than the other idiots. Like, if you want to go disrespect a place, go to Gold's Gym, but that's, we're not doing that here, you know? So that was the main switch there. And then I started getting better at like, yeah, I would work with two or three people at a time. And then I worked with four, and now I can confidently manage 5 to 10 people at a time. So it, from a revenue standpoint and from how many people I can work with, now I can work less hours instead of one-on-ones, and they still get a really high quality service within like a smaller time frame instead of me doing, you know, some coaches are there from, some coaches in the fitness industry are there from 5 a.m. until 9 p.m. and they've got one-on-ones outside of like a little lunch break halfway through. And the gym that they work for takes half of it, of whatever it is. So I was able to compartmentalize a little bit and kind of learn that semi-private model. I go up and work every couple weekends at the starting strength gyms, which are just like small group personal trainings where everybody goes through the starting strength program. And I've learned a ton of like how to manage groups. And from like a scheduling perspective, I've learned a ton from them on how all that works. And also my coach, my lifting coach who runs a gym similar to mine, he does a small group thing as well. And so I kind of just learned that model as I went. Just kind of morphed into what it is now. And yeah, there's lead me to a new topic, Kyle.
Well, how do you like things now, and where do you see yourself going in the next little bit?
The biggest issue with being the solo gym owner is that you're alone and it is just you. And everybody says like, you don't have a business until it can run without you. Right. So the next steps are really developing other coaches and then, you know, maintaining what I've got going on now. Got a person in that's learning barbell coaching a little bit, in hopes of transitioning them into running their own classes at some point. And then, you know, we can double down in this area on the amount of people that we can work with that way. So that's kind of the next step. That being said, I'm very quickly going to be running into the end of my initial 2-year lease here. So I'm already I'm like a year out from that. And I'm not particularly happy with my space anymore. So it could be a situation where I'm going to move elsewhere and compartmentalize a little bit. I've got, you know, the open gym stuff. I bought a lot of stuff. I got a lot of stuff in the gym that was meant for open gyms. Whereas everybody that I coach, we train with barbells, maybe some dumbbells and stuff, nothing too crazy. So like we were talking about yesterday, like I haven't had a single person sign up because I have a Texas Combo powerlifting rack and Rogue powerlifting plates. Not a single person has signed up. Well, maybe they have, but they're the types that I don't want. Right. Yeah. All I need is, you know, racks and plates and benches and in a little bit nicer space, maybe, that looks a little bit more professional than mine, and, you know, really start continuing the barbell training service that I do now. in that small group setting. So it could be a situation where I do something like that. I absolutely hate it when people are like, where do you see yourself going with this? Or like the classic, where do you see yourself in 5 years interview question? Yeah. It's like, I have no idea, because I'm not ignorant enough to like plant what exactly this is going to be just based on the last year and a half of what I thought this was going to be versus what I thought it was going to be now. And we could have this same conversation in a year, and I bet it'll be different then too.
So, well, I think that's the cool part of having this kind of revisited topic than what happened a year and a half ago, because now we get to see how you've changed in the last year and a half, and even how some things like you having the opportunity to move into a bigger space, you never knew that was going to happen. Right.
No.
And just the course of that happening changed so many different paths that you were able to take. So it's really cool to see things like that happen, obviously. But yeah, that's why even when I say, what are your next steps? I'm not trying to list out your 5-year plan. That's a little ridiculous, right?
I have no idea.
But like, what's your steps for the next month or so, 2 months or a year out? Even a year out is hard to see, but
I'm going to be honest, man, at this point, it's June, the end of July. I'm getting married, have a honeymoon in July. I'm kind of in maintenance mode right now, to be honest.
You deserve to be in maintenance mode.
You know, like I'm a little bit in maintenance mode. If the trend follows what it did last year, summertime picked up from like a business perspective, and into the fall it picked up. Right. And last year, again, I wasn't in the new space, but there wasn't a whole lot of like new people coming in early on last year, and it kind of like ramped up as the year went on. So I'll be interested to see if I follow the same path here. The biggest thing now is like, when you start a gym and you just like, you need clients, that's kind of the mode that you're in, is like, what do I need to do to generate new people? So now it's more like, well, what can I do to retain these people, to keep getting them stronger? And a lot of that starts with like laying out the expectation up front. But so really maintaining the relationships that I have with current clients right now, and, you know, keeping that going and learning how to make, just continuing to make the service as good as possible for the next couple months. Again, the biggest roadblock comes early next year when I'm deciding what to do with the gym, whether that's making it the full-blown personal training thing, whether that's moving to a different location, whatever it is. So there's a lot of questions that are up in the air, and I just kind of have the mentality of like gas pedal through it. Got to roll with the punches.
Now I want to go back into your training.
Yeah.
How has your training been affected the last year and a half? Has it gotten better? Has it gotten worse? Has it kind of flatlined?
With my clients?
With you?
With myself?
With you, yeah.
I think that if I wasn't doing this, if I was just training and not trying to run a gym, like, I'm as strong as I've ever been right now. But if I wasn't trying to run a gym and I was just training and doing something else, I probably would be stronger, because there's times where it's like, you know, you've been in the gym since 6 a.m. and you've coached people, and pretty much like every person that you deal with in the gym directly like influences your personal income and your mood and your energy and fucking everything, right? So there's times when I've been coaching all day from 6 to 10, and then from 3:30 to 6:30, maybe I've had some one-on-ones in between, and it's 7 o'clock and you don't want to train at all. Right. Like, I don't want to train. So I'll just hit my main lifts and then that'll be it. Right. So yeah, from a training perspective, it's been okay. But like at the same time, when you run the gym and you're a strength coach, you don't get to just not train.
You can't not train.
You can't. Like I'm always lifting. You can't not train. So like I'm always lifting and I'm always posting videos so clients can see that I'm in there in the trenches with them too. I'm doing sets of five that I didn't think I could do. Right. Just cause you have to maintain that or else why would they even listen to you? Right. So again, I'm pretty much as strong as I've ever been, which is good. But kind of like tapering off, I did 4 power meets in one calendar year last year, like 4 different powerlifting meets. And then I coached a bunch of them too. Probably competed in 4 and then probably went and coached at 4. And I'm sick of powerlifting meets. So my training's gone a little bit differently. Like now I'm running a little bit, still lifting heavy. Now I'm doing jiu-jitsu. So it's like, how much can I get away with outside of lifting to keep, but still make a little progress or maintain my lifting. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I know there's a guy on Twitter. There's actually a couple that run gyms. There's Matt McLaughlin, right? He's the Capital Strength guy. And then there's the guy, I actually don't know his name, but he runs the Fort Worth Playboy account. So a lot of what he talks about is dating and stuff, but he also runs a gym.
I didn't know he runs a gym.
Have you seen that account?
I don't think I've seen that account, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that he talks about from like the dating and like side of things. But he also runs a gym and he's like, new gym owners gain like 30 pounds. Your training is going to go to shit. You think that you have a place that's like, oh, I can train all the time. I'm going to be jacked. But that's not really true at all when you're in the trenches on it. Now, a guy like Matt McLaughlin, who's got 10 different trainers working for him. I think he's got other stuff going on. He has a lot of time for training, I think. Right. Cause he's only coaching a certain amount of time and he's able to manage it. But yeah, until that point hits, which that's kind of the main dilemma is you get in the gym and you love coaching, but like in order to run a business effectively, you need to not be working in your business. You need to be working on it. Right. But that takes you away from the coaching that you love to do, which is why you got into it in the begin with. So I'm going to be honest, that's probably like my little crossroads that I'm at right now. So.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. I just want to go back and talk a little bit about what a new client's journey would be like at Ground Zero Strength. From just hearing about Ground Zero Strength, maybe they drove past your location or they saw a Facebook ad. What usually happens from them hearing about your place, reaching out, where do you go from there?
Yeah. So a lot of what it is now that I have kind of a critical mass in the gym of clients, a lot of it's referral type stuff, or they heard about it and they've been researching it a little bit. I do run ads. So a lot of times it's people just searching up gym or, you know, they finally decided that they need to do something and get in better shape or get stronger or whatever. And I've really, really ramped on from like a marketing message and from a messaging on my website and everything that, hey, like this is a strength first gym. You're going to train with free weights. You're going to barbell train. And, you know, I kind of talk through the process on that. So a lot of times before I get somebody into the door, they have a fairly good idea of what this is. And so again, most of the time I've got, you know, obviously they can submit their info on the website. And once they do that, I hit them with a call as quick as I can. So once I get a new lead in or whatever, I call them as quickly as I can. And as soon as I get them on the phone, it's, you know, hey, this is Sam at Ground Zero. And I start disqualifying them as quickly as I can. Like, you know, you filled out the info on the website. Sounds like you're trying to do this or whatever. You know, like, tell me a little bit more. And then I kind of lead into inviting them into a free orientation session. And again, once they come in, we sit down and basically just go through what their goals are. And I try and make it really clear. And I think the biggest thing is I try to really let them know that I care about why they're in here talking with me and what their goals are going forward. So I try and understand that. And then during that consultation process, I take them through, okay, here's what your goals are. And here's how what we do here and the training that you're going to do here is going to help you accomplish that. Right. So, you know, maybe you get a lady that wants to, let's see, what's a common one? I get a lot of people that I'm always digging for something that they can shoot for. So, hey, I've got a backpacking trip in August, they might say, and I want to be strong for that. I want to be in shape for that. I want to be able to carry my own weight and not have people wait on me and everything like that. So then I tie in how, okay, well, getting stronger and going through this process that we go through here is going to help you out with that. So we kind of have that discussion. And then I like them to get a feel for what the coaching is like. So once we have the discussion there, I take them out on the platform and I teach them how to deadlift because it's the easiest one to teach to somebody with the least amount of intrusion, right? So a lot of times if they've had lifting experience in the past and, or, you know, maybe they're a little bit apprehensive of it, you know, you teach them that really clearly and precisely and show them that you can help them on the platform. So get them deadlifting good the first time. So they've experienced the coaching and I've gotten to work with them a little bit then too. And then basically after that, it's, you know, if you think this can help, you know, here's the next steps. We'll get you into our one-on-one intro session. After that, you'll get into our 1 month trial on ramp period. And then we go from there. So that's like that process has taken a lot of shoring up, right? Getting them on the phone, getting them in the gym as quickly as you can, showing them some of the coaching, helping them understand what their goals are and how you can actually help them do that. Right. And I've even had some people where it's like, what you're trying to accomplish doesn't match what I am going to do here, what I do with people here. So here's some recommendations to go check these people out. And that really helps too. Right. So that's really the process they go through there. Again, I coach the starting strength method. So it is, I do say that it's personalized, but it's pretty much the same program for everybody initially. And once they're in that intro session, I take them through all the four main lifts. And this is usually a giant rapport builder, especially for people that have trained and lifted in the past. Is like a lot of people have tried barbell squatting or a lot of people have tried deadlifting or bench pressing and they fucked it up really bad. And then they're like, I can't do that anymore. Or, you know, a lot of times people will be like, oh, I can only go down so far on my squats. And then in that intro session that they signed up for, you have them squatting to depth like that, just by their positioning and stuff. Yeah. So, you know, their mind gets blown. So they're super motivated going into the groups, the group training. And then you just bleed that first month out and you take them through the progression. And most of the time they're seeing weight added to the bar every time. They're seeing their form improve. you know, a lot of women claim like after a month of lifting that, you know, they're firming up a little bit, you know, they feel a little bit more confident. They got more energy. They're excited to go to the gym. So after that first month, I've just made it as seamless as possible, getting them recurring and then keeping them coming. You know, I don't have like there isn't like a beginner program for 4 weeks or like some special like challenge or something that has like its direct endpoint. It's like, no, like we're just taking you, I'm teaching you through this process of getting stronger. And we're doing starting strength. This all is based on foundational principles. You know, 3 sets of 5 works, right? Adding a little bit of weight each time is your stressor. We're accumulating the adaptation. So you teach them that as you go. And then most of the time, they are pretty jacked up to keep going after that initial month. So from there, we bleed that initial linear progression out as long as we possibly can, get them as strong as we can. And I kind of lay out, I know you were wanting me to get into this. I kind of lay out the expectations for like time frames with the clients. And this is like in a welcome packet. And I talk them through it a little bit. Like the first month, it's all about kind of like you getting your feet wet. We're going to add a little bit of weight. You're going to get strong. After 3 months, you're probably going to be as strong as you've ever been. And you're going to feel awesome. From 3 to 6 months, like it gets hard in here. Stuff just starts being heavy. And this is where most people quit, right? And you have to push through this phase. And then like 6 to 12 months is where it starts getting a little bit more individualized towards your goals, but your progress is going to slow down, right? So we're going to be fighting for less pounds on the bar. Things are going to have to get a little bit more complicated from a programming perspective. We're not going to just be able to add 5 pounds every time. So I try and lay the expectations out on the journey as much as I possibly can going up. And, that way they understand what the process is that they're going through, as opposed to just like getting them into a group class and it all being random, like a lot of gyms do. And a lot of like CrossFit type stuff does. Like none of this is random. There's never a case where we're doing this just because that's the way it is. It's like, no, there's an answer for everything. I want them as in tune in their training as they possibly can be. So I think the biggest thing is when I started out, I wasn't very good at articulating all of that. And they kind of, when they would just come in, I would talk them through, like, instead of talking them through that journey and then applying that journey and how, and getting stronger and how that's going to help them achieve like the goal that they initially came in here for, it would kind of just be like, let's get you stronger, come in 3 times a week. But there was no really like painted journey for them. So they're like, why are you asking me for $500 right now? Like, I don't even know what, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I think that was a big change there. Like from a customer journey standpoint, that was a really big change.
It makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think it's a big learning lesson that actually a lot of personal trainers have to go through. Yep. Where they don't understand that sometimes the clients just need to know exactly what you're doing with them week over week, month over month, and the expectations they should set. Because nobody likes being in the dark. And sometimes we're blindsided by the fact that we're not telling our clients that, you know, this is coming up, or in the next 3 months, expect this. And if you don't let them know upfront what's going to happen, then they're left in the dark and they start questioning your methods. They start questioning why they're even paying you money when they could do this at home, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a really key thing that you mentioned, having to learn that process of explaining expectations to clients so that they better understand the journey they're on. And I don't think you give yourself enough credit here. You mentioned a little bit about how it's not that personalized because you follow the starting strength method and it's just 3x5 and all of its foundation.
Oh no, that's fucking personalized. but that's hard to sell though, I guess is what I'm saying.
What I mean by that is like, there's a lot of personalization in obviously the way you coach them and how they do those lifts. Everyone has different leverages. So you're going in there, breaking it down step by step on how Joe's doing it versus how Barbara's doing it. It's going to look completely different for them too. And what's so cool about it all is that even though there are very big personalization areas that you focus on, the core concept remains the same throughout everybody. And I think that's what's super important, because comparing your gym and how you keep those core values the same, and every client has to align with the values that you set in the gym, makes it a very strong gym. And not strong as in just
the poundage
they're lifting, right?
that too.
but it makes a lot of sense to building your brand and hope and people aligning with your values, with your mission, and people will come in for the right reasons because of the values and the mission you have set for yourself to giving the best for your clients.
Yeah. And it's really awesome having like new clients come in and then having the clients that are ahead of them there as well. So, you know, after that first month, I was showing you yesterday the holy shit, I'm getting stronger shirt. I got the shirt that I give them once they've made it through the first month. It's got the, you know, the big Ground Zero logo on the front. On the back, it says, holy shit, I'm getting stronger. So they get through that first month and then you give them that shirt. Well, guess what shirt they're showing up with the next time? Like they're wearing that one. So then everybody's juiced up because they've made it through the first month. And, you know, and then from a programming standpoint too, with, if you try and program randomly and you just set a blank template for, and you have a blank template and you, you know, somebody comes in and say, oh, I want my shoulders bigger. And I want my arms bigger. So you just program a bunch of arm work, and like in all of your different clients had different stuff going on. Right. Whereas in my gym, they show up and in order for them to even pull their credit card out, they have to understand that we're not exercising, right? We're training, and we're training for you to get stronger. And we define what strength is. Our training is there to accumulate strength adaptations. Like that's the whole point. That's what we're doing here. And that ties into the goal that you are trying to achieve. So this programming is there, and you know, the starting strength program, it's squats every day. It's bench prep, bench and overhead press alternating. It's deadlifting every day. And then they learn the power clean in place at one point. So then other clients are like, oh, you're doing the power clean now. I remember when I learned that, it was really hard. And then, you know, after that, you add in a chin up or a lat pull down instead of, and then they're deadlifting every third day. So then they're lifting some heavy weights, and the other clients are like, oh, look at you. You're deadlifting every third day now. You must be getting pretty strong. How's that going? Right. So like all of my longtime clients have been through that initial process. So they know what the new person is going to go through. Right. So everybody's been through the same thing. So the melding in the community there is really big. Right.
Yep.
And that's really cool to see too. Instead of just like me writing up a random program and everybody doing the different
stuff. Yeah.
Own stuff. No, it's like, no, we're doing, everybody does this. Mm-hmm. And there's clearly modifications.
Yep.
Not everybody can low bar squat because you can't get the bar there. So, hey, maybe, you know, maybe Zach is having to use a buffalo bar, you know, the bent one, so we can actually get the bar in the right spot. Or maybe, you know, Barbara is having to do a different overhead press. She's not doing the hip throw because it hurts her lower back. So she's just strict pressing. So there's obviously a difference, but everybody kind of understands what the process is. And everybody talks about like niching down and having a process. And at the start, like that's really hard to like find the right person. Who's the right person for this? That's like I feel like that's a common marketing thing, is like find your avatar.
Yeah.
Right. And then those are the people that you can hyper focus on. Whereas I focus more on like, okay, well, anybody who inquires and walks through my doors, I need to do a damn good job of figuring out what they want, what they're trying to do. And they're clearly a noob to lifting, or, you know, or maybe they've had some lifting experience in the past. And I need to explain to them that getting stronger is going to help them get to what they're trying to do faster. Because a lot of the women I work with, they want to look better, but they've tried all this different stuff. But you start getting them stronger, they immediately feel more confident. And so instead of trying to like niche down and find this particular person, I find these people and then I figure out what they want. And then I try to meld in what I'm doing and what this, you know, the strength program that we've got going on here fits in for them. And then we go forward on it, as opposed to kind of like, I feel like that the opposite happens of you find this person and then you like build out this program based on what they want.
Yeah.
I want my arms bigger. Well, home dog, you can't do a push-up, right? Or I work my legs a lot. Okay. Well, if you work your legs a lot, how come you bout passed out after 5 squats with just the bar on your back, right? You know, but I know that I have a quantifiable, a measurable, a systemized way of getting people stronger that I'm really confident in now. And I can show them strength improvements over a certain amount of time, and just setting that expectation is huge. I don't know why this popped into my head, but I had a woman who came in and she wanted to lose weight and look a little bit better. And I, you know, that's what all women want, right? They want to look better. She's great. And now like she's deadlifting in the 200s and she squatted 225 for a triple. She's benching like 115 or something. Well, anyway, it was like last week, I was asking her like, hey, like what benefits are you like? She's like, well, she's gained a little bit of weight, which she didn't want, but all of her clothes fit exactly. They fit a little bit better or worse. You know, it's that typical thing. But she was like, the best thing ever is I can pick up and walk with my husband now. So if he's misbehaving, she can just pick his ass up. Yeah.
I thought you meant like,
yes.
Sorry. It took me that a while off, to even process it? That. Yeah.
I did the same thing when she told me that. I was like, you're excited because she can pick up her husband, like lift him. Then she couldn't do that before. So now like, oh, he's misbehaving in the bar. I'm going to go get him and fucking pick him up and carry him. And I was like, that is so cool in comparison to like another lose 10 pounds. It's like, you want to fucking pick up your husband when he's misbehaving, come to ground zero. Right. And, so that's what we're doing. That's what I'm really focusing on here. And I had a little bit of a time where it was like, I need to market more towards like personal training and that type of thing. And I think there's definitely some utility to that. That being said, having clear expectations on what this is and the process the clients go through. And I'm already thinking about that from like a website marketing standpoint, like really laying that out better than it is now. And being just known for that, as opposed to like just this big grand thing. Like at one point, Ground Zero last year was, we are personal training. We are strength coaching. We have an open gym membership. We've got a hybrid membership. We've got this and that. We've got powerlifting, strongman, blah, blah, blah. But now it's like, this is a strength first approach to fitness. We're going to get you stronger. And just really hammering home that has helped a lot from a retention standpoint too, because people know what they're signing up for a little bit more, being able to really hammer that home and that process home. as opposed to just trying to get whoever, right?
Yep.
And if this isn't what they want, then there's plenty of gyms for them to go do whatever it is that they want to do. And there's plenty more people for me to get, right? So, yeah.
That was an absolute gem. I don't know why it kind of made me think about like the top schools in the world. And the top schools in the world all have that one or two subjects that they're all specialized in. And you know, yeah, you're going to this school for that particular thing. Same thing with sports, right? You're going to a certain college because they're better at basketball or they're better at football. And you know, going to that school is going to get you better at the sport you want to get better at. So you go to that school for that purpose. And same thing, rather than you conforming to what your clients want or potential clients want, you're setting in stone exactly what you do really freaking well. And you're letting the world know, strength training, come to me. Everything else, F off.
Yes, exactly. But
everyone knows exactly what your strengths are. So when they hear the word strength training, the immediate thought is ground zero strength. Rather than you having to be like, oh, personal training, weight loss, muscle gain, strength gain, you know, all these other things. You're just worrying about that one niche, which is very interesting because you hear about that in business all the time, but you're kind of just practicing it and nailing it really freaking well.
Yeah. And I don't know if I'm nailing it yet, but they say the business record, it's just a little bit different. I think maybe I'm falling into what they're talking about. And maybe I just don't have a full understanding of, you know, like the whole niching down and finding your avatar and that type of thing. But it's more about finding the people that want what you do and the ones that are wishy-washy, but are interested enough to be having a conversation with you. It's about indoctrinating them into this system, right? And you know, we've had some marketing talks recently that have like sparked my mind a lot. If you guys are listening to this, Kyle asked me like a few weeks ago, look up at your client roster and tell me how many people have lifted before coming here to the gym. And, I had been marketing and really like my messaging had been for brand new lifters, right? But then I looked up at my roster and there was only like four or five of them that had never trained before. And all of them had came to kind of like optimize their training or cut through the bullshit or wanting to actually go through this strength process as opposed to whatever else. So there's not a whole lot of like, anybody who's ever signed up because they've been like, oh, I want to lose 40 pounds. Like they don't come to my gym. It's people that want strength, right? So that was a big like aha moment for me that my good friend Kyle here gave me. And I think that's going to help me double down on what I'm really good at. You know, I'm in the fitness community in my area and there's a few other private gyms. There's CrossFit, there's a few other, you know, there's commercial gyms that do personal training. And a lot of them try and kind of have, they try and do everything, right? We want to have youth training. We want to have sport training. We want to have adult group training. We want to have one-on-one training. We want to have fat loss. We want to have muscle gain. We want to have this and that and this and that. And I'm just trying to be the guy that gets people strong and a guy that makes getting strong accessible to regular people. Because you can be the strength gym, like I was just talking about, that's just a bunch of meatheads, right? And banging plates and have graffiti on the walls and all that. But like, I want to be the strength. I want to be the strength guy for the regular person who comes in. And that's the direction I'm going a little bit. And that's really like the direction that I wanted to go, and something that I've learned from, you know, going and talking with the starting strength franchise in Boise. Like, that's what they do. It's very strength oriented. It's barbell training. All they have in their gym is racks and plates. And if somebody signs up, that's what is expected, right? And everybody's doing the same type of thing. And it leads to that really good business model that we were talking about on, instead of just having youth athletes in there doing like a group, and then having like somebody else doing a fat loss thing, and somebody else doing, you know, wanting to focus on their arms and all this stuff. It's like, no, you're just, when you come to Ground Zero, you're going to go through this specific process that everybody's gone through. And then we can take it as far as you want once we've gotten through that, right? Some people want to do powerlifting. Some people want to start focusing on fat loss after a while, and we can do that. Okay, well, maybe we need to start being more active. Maybe you need to stop drinking 3 beers every night, brother. You know, and it's always really simple, right? But just making being strong the main focus, and the benefits of that, and making sure that people know, hey, you're going to find out what you're capable of with the strength from your newfound strength from a physical standpoint, from a mental standpoint. And then let's make sure that your strength isn't limiting you anymore. So brings back that example of somebody not being strong enough to, you know, I'm in a mountainous area, so a lot of people ski, and it's like, well, if you get your legs stronger, had a few people that trained with me all year last year, then went into this year's ski season. We're like, I was able to ski all day without my legs getting too tired. Right. So like just making sure to focus more on what the strength can do for you, for my client, as opposed to like asking them about their waist size and trying to get them to trim inches and trying to get them to lose fat. Right. It's like, we're looking a little bit more for performance in your daily life and the activities that you like to do. So that's kind of been like my message with new people and people that I talk to. And I think that's working a little bit more. Since I did have like the beginning stages of the gym, that was like the meathead place, that was the strongman and powerlifting place. There's probably some people around town that still think that's what this is. But if you walk into my gym at 8 a.m. on a Wednesday, you're going to have like 4 ladies that are between 40 to 65 in their barbell squatting and deadlifting. And yeah.
Dude, that was awesome. Thanks so much for sharing a little bit more about what you've been up to in the last year and a half from a gym owner perspective. And I know we don't talk about this a lot, but I think it'll give a lot of insights on what you've been up to, not just from a strength training perspective, but also how you're helping other people, and not just from our personal opinions on what lifts we think are the best, but more so how are we able to help other people around us?
Yeah. Like that's the impact that this type of thing can have, which is good, which is why when, you know, you're dealing with bullshit clients and you're dealing with frustrating business stuff, like that's what I always try and keep in my head. Like it's, hey, we are making a positive impact on people's health and their life. So yeah, that's a really like cliche thing to say, I think, as like a service provider like this, but it's true.
No, it's definitely true.
Yeah. And then we can have this talk again in a year.
Exactly.
And shit's going to be different. So
2025 on season 3 of Ground Zero Strength.
Yeah, we'll just make this like an annual thing. Checking in with Ground Zero. So yeah, man, I appreciate all the good questions.
No worries. I hope our listeners enjoyed the conversation we had And once again, thanks to everybody for listening to episode 49 of Ground Zero Fitness Podcast. Oh.